Okay, we're on Daf Mem Aleph tonight. So to refresh everybody's recollection, we were talking about Shemitah 41a, the bottom on the bottom two couple lines on 40b. So if you remember, we were talking about Shemitah, and we said that the Kedusha of the Shemitah fruit, there are certain dinim that attach to the fruits of Shemitah, the Perut of Shvius, and then the Gemara had a machloka between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar said that Ein Shvit Mechalel Al Derech Mekach, that Shvit is Mechal means to be deconsecrated, but the fruits themselves retain their kedusha, but it only travels to another object Derech Mekach through a commercial transaction. So that if it means if somebody buys Perot Shvit, so then the money gets the kedusha of Shvit. Then when he takes that money, he buys something else, then it's transferred to the other object. And then Rabbi Yochanan says, Bein derech mekach, bein derech chilul. Rabbi Yochanan held either way. Then at the bottom of Mem Amud Beis, the Gemara quoted a braisa to support Rabbi Yochanan, which is that it could be derech mekach, but it could also be derech chilul. Derech chilul is like pidyon. If I say, here the fruit of what he poted, it works that way. And five lines from the bottom, Tanik Vaz Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Shviit, Echad Maaser Sheni, whether it's the Shemitah fruit or the Maaser Sheni, the product that with Maaser Sheni, so with the first and second year of the Shemitah cycle and the fourth and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, you bring Maaser Sheni, you tithe, you eat in your Shlayim, but if it's too much, you can't carry your poda it. So Echad Shvit, Echad Maaser Sheni, Mitchalalin, Al Behem Echayiv Oof, that it could be deconsecrated. Mitchalal means pidyon. That's where the Gemara takes it. Mitchalal means pidyon. It could be nifta on behema chayiv oaf, on an animal, a domestic animal, wild animal, or a bird, bein chayin bein shchutin to remeir, whether alive or shechted according to the tan remeir, v'chachamomrim al shchutin echalin al chayim in chalin. The chamim say it has to be a shechted animal, it can't be a live animal, zereshem yigadel mehenadarim, because we're afraid if you're poda with a live animal, you won't eat it in the time you should eat it. Each has a time limitation. So maaser sheni, I want you to eat the Maaser Sheni preferably within the year, but in no circumstances later than like in the third year, the beginning of the fourth year, you have a shot of biur for it. And similarly with the Shemitah fruit, it has to be eaten before shot of biur, which is when it's not in the field anymore. So if I let you pot it with a live animal, we're afraid that you'll just raise as a herd and you'll push it off. So, but the point of that braisa is it says mechalel. Mechalel is pidyon, to be po there. So the Gemara is on the bottom line, and that was the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody agrees that could be do with derech mekach, but the question is derech pidyon. So Amar Rava machloket is zecharim. So Rava says the top line of Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph 41a in the top line. So Amar Rava machloket is zecharim. So Rava says the machloket we just learned about whether it has to be, whether it can be chayin or shchutin according to a mayor, or it just has to be shchutin, that's only bizkarim, that's only by the male animals. Everybody agrees with the female. In other words, a person is more likely to maintain a herd of female animals, because the female animals are the ones that procreate. So that's much more likely that you would maintain it with the female animals. So Rav is explaining, everybody agrees that there is a concern, Sheman Yigadel Mehenadarim, and if it's female animals, everybody holds Vadai, it can't be, you can't leave it alive. It must be Shchutin. But with the Zecharim, he says, so, but there's a machloket by the male animals. So one says we extend the Zera also even to the male animals, and the one says not, the male animal is not, I'm not going to do that. All right, now line three, and I'll pause in a few lines. So we said we had a machloket between Reb Lazar and Reb Yochanan. According to Reb Lazar, it's only derech mekach that the kedusha travels to something else. With Reb Yochanan, it's derech mekach or derech pidyon. So he says Am Ravashi machloket b'pri rishon. Ravashi says that's only with the original first fruit. That's the machloket whether I could do it even with derech pidyon or not. But if it's already like later on in the sequence of events, you know, it's down the pike already. Then everybody agrees I could do it both ways. So the question is, with that pre-reshown, in other words, does it only have to be derech mekach for the kedusha to travel to the money, or could it be even derech pidyon? But after that, according to Rav Ashi, everybody, there's no machloket. Bahad katani lakach lakach. So in the earlier brisa, which we did last night, remember he had meat, and then with the meat he got fish, and with the fish he got wine, and then one thing another. It says lakach lakach lakach, which seems to be purchase, purchase, purchase. And that was the brisa that was supporting Reb Lazar. It's derech mecha. I did the tana reish lakach. The way Rav Ashi understands it, since the first transaction he has to say lakach, because everybody agrees has to be derech mecha. Tana nami seifa lakach. So he also learns in the seifa also lakach. But really, the main point is the first pre rishon. That's what we think. So eight bay Ravina Rav Ashi. So Ravina posed the following question to Rav Ashi. Now, this is from the following brisa. The brisa says, if a person has a sella of shviyat, in other words, a sella is a coin. I have a coin, and it has the kedusha of shviyat on it. And I want to buy a shirt with that coin. Now, a shirt is not something I could buy with the kedusha of shviyat. In other words, I have to buy something I consume, like a fruit, like food I have to buy it with. And I want to buy a shirt with it. I got a problem. Ketzadia said, what should he do in order to be able to buy his shirt? But the only money he's got is that sella, but he wants to buy a shirt. He can't do it. So Ketzadia said, he should go to his henvani, his merchant that he's accustomed to dealing with, but Omerlo, and say to him, I have a sella here, and it has kedusha shvius, and I'd like some payrot. Give me apples for it. But Otainlo, and then the seller gives him the payrot. The choser va omer lo, and then the purchaser says, "Hare peyrod lal natun lachab matana." You know what? I'm going to give you the peyrod also. So now the seller has got the money, and the seller's got the peyrod. He's got everything. Who omer lo, and at that point the seller says back to the buyer, "Helecha sella zuba matana." Here's the sella as a gift. So really, nothing has changed. In other words, the person walked in with the money, and the seller had the fruit. But after the transaction, the seller's got the fruit and the purchaser got the money, but the money went through like a money laundering situation. He says, and then the purchaser can buy whatever he wants with it. Now here, what are we dealing with? Money. Money is already the second transaction. In other words, I start off with the fruit. I've got money with kedusha shvius. That's pre-sheni. In other words, he must have, with that money, he must have sold, let's say, peyrot shviyas and gotten the money for it. And so so there was a transaction that took place before with the money. So the money is the status of pre-sheni. V'ketani derech mekach in derech hilulo. So it's obvious from the brisa, if I could do pidyon, he wouldn't have to go to the store. He would just stay at home and say, this money is midchalel on these fruit or something like that. And then he'd be done with it. In other words, so the fact that he goes to the store and he goes through this money laundering in the store, that seems to show that even with pre-sheni, I have to do derech mekach. So the Gemara says, Elam Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says, we're going to revise our understanding of what Rav Ashi said. So we said, Rav Ashi said that machloket is a bit pre-rishon, but pre-sheni, everybody agrees, it could be both. Elam Rav Ashi, machloket but pre-sheni. Rav Ashi says, no, the machloket is by the pre-sheni. Does that have to only be derech mekach, or it can even be derech pidyon of a pre-rishon? But the first fruit, divrei akol derech mekach in derech hilulo. Everybody agrees the first fruit is derech mekach, not derech hilul. Now, what about that last price that we learned on Amud Beis that I begin today's daf with? And I'll just pause in a few lines. Bahad katani echad shviyat bechad maaser sheni. So, but in that brisa, so again, so according to the way we're understanding Rav Ashi, pre-rishon everybody holds is derech mekach. So what do I do with this brisa that says, if remember the brisa was six lines from the bottom on Mem Amud Beis. Brisa says, Echad shviyat bechad maaser sheni midchalin al behem echai ba'ov. Midchal means poda, pinyon, on behem echai ba'ov. So the Gemara says, V'had katani echad shviyat bechad maaser sheni, my shviyat, what does it mean? So it says I could be poda that. But we just said, the Rav Ashi says, pre-rishon everybody agrees there are mekach. So how can I see the word mechalel? So he says, my shviyat, demei shviyat. What does the Tana mean when he says shviyat? The shmita fruits, it doesn't mean shmita fruits. It means the money that was used that you got from the shmita fruits. You sold the shmita fruits and you got money for it. He says, the ilote mahachi, because if you don't say it that way, in other words, so we're talking about here, so back in the Brisa, so in the Brisa, when it says 5 lines from the bottom on Mem Amud Beis, 40b, we did it at the beginning of today's daf. So what the Brisa says, Echad Shviyat Mechad Maaser Sheni Mechalel Abahim Echai Va'ov, it doesn't mean the fruits are Mechalel, it means you have the money that you got from selling fruits. In other words, you sold the fruits of Shviyas, and now I got a bag of money. Now with that bag of money, I could be mitchalel, that I could be poder with a behemoth chayav oof. I could take the money and then buy or take and say I have this animal here. It's my animal. I want to be poder the money with the animal, and then the kedusha will travel to the animal. He says the ilo temahachi, because if you don't say it that way, maaser mamish. So what are you going to say by the maaser? How do you explain that? Maaser shem mitchalin al behemoth chayav oof. Does that mean the crops themselves? The Torah says you'll be poda the crops from Maaser Sheni, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and with the money you buy everything. In other words, the money has the kedusha. So you're forced to say, so the Brisa says, I'm going to take the Maaser and buy a behema chayva oaf with it. But I'm going to spend the sequence, the way the Torah describes it, I'm going to be poda the Maaser Sheni with money, and then with the money I'll buy a behema chayva. Eli says, El Dmei Maaser. So by Maaser, we're forced to say it's Dmei Maaser. Hakanami Dmei Sheni. Here too, it's the base fees, okay? So, okay, who's your questions, comments, thoughts that so far?
Can you summarize this little parsha?
Oh, it's always so hard summarizing, but for you, I'll do it, Fern. Okay, so, all right, so again, so we learned to machloket between Reb Lazar and Reb Yochanan about how Shvius is mitchalel. So Reb Lazar says it's derech mekach, Reb Yochanan says bein derech mekach, bein derech chilul. So Reb Lazar says it's only through a commercial transaction. Yochanan says it could be a commercial transaction, or I could do pidyon. I could be my house, and I could be poed to something with it, and then the kedusha will travel to that item. So then, as the Gemara concludes, Rabashi says that machloket is by pre-sheni. In other words, not the original fruit. That machloket is pre-sheni. Anything after the original fruit is pre-sheni. So the machloket is by pre-sheni. Then they have the machloket, meaning if I sell peirot shviyit, now I have money with kedusha of shviyas on it. So in order to sort of like take the kedusha from that money, do I have to do a transaction with it, a commercial transaction? Or can I just take the money in my house and I have some other non-shemitah fruit and say I'm poda the money with this fruit? Then the fruit will have kedusha shvius. Can I do it that way? So that's the way the Gemara says it. So the machloket is pre-shane, but by pre-rishon, everybody agrees it's derech mekach, not derech chilul. And then we touched up the Brisa. All right. And who's your questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody good? Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. Okay, we're at the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Okay. Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, midway down the column. Okay, Manitin. But Rishona, he Lulav Mital Mikdash Shiva, Umdina Yom Echad. So originally, the Lulav was taken 7 days in the base of Mikdash. It says, Usmach Tamasdei Hashem Lokechem Shivat Yamim. You'll rejoice before Hashem your God 7 days. And when it says Lifnei Hashem, that usually means in the Beis HaMikdash, 7 days. So, Uva Medina Yom Echad, outside the Beis HaMikdash, 1 day. This is Machloket between the Rambam and other Rishonim. When it's in Medina, does it mean outside the Beis HaMikdash or does it mean outside Yerushalayim? So, according to the way the Rambam learns, it means in Yerushalayim, they would take it for 7 days. And so there's a question we'll see in a Halacha, where there's still a mitzvah today. So, if it's not the first day of Yontiv, So in Medina, you have mitzvah de Rabbanan to take the lulav. But in according to the way the Rambam understands it, in Yerushalayim, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa. So someone is saying that the Rambam will understand that he says the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash never left. So maybe even if I took the lulav in the morning, let's say in Hebron, and then I travel to Yerushalayim, maybe I have a mitzvah to take lulav again, like near the Kotel, because now I'm certainly in Yerushalayim in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And now, yeah, so that's the Lifnei Hashem. According to the Rambam, I'm in Yerushalayim is Lifnei Hashem. What? Well, it means in the area where the city of Yerushalayim existed, I assume, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So, yeah, you have to, but in front of the Kotel certainly would work. So let's take a look back on the Gemara. It says, Mishchara Beit HaMikdash, after the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, Hekin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is living during the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Shehidulav Mital B'Medina Shiva Zeichel HaMikdash. He said, you know what? From now on, so it means if I'm living in time of the Beis HaMikdash, so I only take lulav one day, and then I'm finished. Gerug, I'm finished. So after the structure of the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, now we don't have a Beis Hamikdash anymore. So I want everybody, everywhere, to take lulav for 7 days and remember the Beis Hamikdash. Wherever you are, take lulav for 7 days. He says, and that the day of the waving of the Omer, we don't have a Minchat Omer anymore, so the whole day is prohibited to eat the Chadash. In other words, the Omer is brought on the 16th of Nisan, which is the second day of Pesach. That's when the Omer, the Minchat Omer, is brought at the base of Mikdash on the 16th of Nisan. Now, you're not allowed to eat Chadash till after the Omer is brought. So if you're living during the time of the base of Mikdash, once the Omer is brought, now I can eat the Chadash. So the way Rashi is explaining this, the way that we think in the Havamina of the Gemara, the two sukim. It says, one second. It says, Ad etzem hayom hazeh. It says, b'chol. No, wait, please. Okay. No. Yeah. It says, b'lechem kali b'charmel lo toklu. Lechem kali and karmel, don't eat like the new grains. Ad etzem hayom hazeh. Till this day, ad aviyachem et korban lo kechem. Till you bring the mincha, the omer. That's what the Torah says. So there's two times Torah gives, till this day, until I bring the Omer. So the way the Gemara understands it right now is when I bring the Omer's matir. When there's no Omer, so at dawn on the 16th, I can eat Chadash. That would be the way we go. So it says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that after the Korban Beis Hamikdash, we're going to do it differently. Even though on a Din Torah, but the Gemara is going to revise our understanding of this, I could have it from dawn. I want you to wait the whole day. That's his takana. We'll see in a minute. So the Gemara is going to explain that he's concerned that if people get accustomed to eating the Chadash at daybreak on the 16th, then the base of it should be rebuilt. There'll be a mess because now the Omer, now we're going back to a different scenario. So we want people to be, you know, primed for when the base of it is rebuilt. You understand or not? That's the way we understand right now. That's correct. But when there's Beis Hamikdash, I have to wait till the Mincha Omer. So I don't want people to have it at dawn. So I'm going to say, so Yom HaNeif is Kulo Asur. It's because the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt. Now, let's take a look at Tosfos over here. Look at the Tosfos. One, the second and a half Tosfos. Yom HaNeif Kulo Asur. So we mentioned two Takanot of Yom and Zakkai. So Tosfos says, Harbei Takanot Tekener of Yom and Zakkai. There are many Takanot that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai established. So why is it these two are mentioned here? In other words, he's got the 50 takanot. Why these two? In other words, the one lulav I understand. Well, why is Yom HaNeif? Elahanaf Tarti Tekin Yachad. These two he established together at the same time. He made both of them. Lahachi Tanihachi Yom HaNeif Agav Gerara. So therefore, Yom HaNeif is like along the way. So it's like, you know, like coming along for the ride. But since they were both enacted at the same time, he teaches Yom HaNeif. That's the way Tosos learns. The tame of the Nachod Perak Rabbi Shmuel, Otani Hanath the Lulav Agavahu Yom HaNeif. Tosos is bothered because in Menachod, it mentions the kind of Yom HaNeif, but it doesn't mention the thing about Lulav. Tosos says, why do I mention these two together? Because they're both enacted the same day. So where I mention one, I mention the other one. But in Menachod, it mentions the second one, doesn't mention the first one. With Perak Bach Rosh Hashanah Tanya Hanath Tarki, but Otakan Tuba Tikun. And Rosh Hashanah, he mentions these two and a zillion other things. So there's a piece of Torah here. Let me find it. The Tosafot leaves it that way. It doesn't answer the question. But we're going to have an answer if I can find it here. One second. Yeah. Okay. So this is from the Admor Misakalov. So he says like this. This we did. Okay, but the question still remains, even assuming they were both enacted at the same time, what is the connection between these two takanot? It was Tosafot says they were both enacted at the same time. What does one have to do with the other one? So he says, and he mentions also, wherever we mention the takanot of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, these two always come together, except in Masechet Menachot, which just means Yom HaNeif by itself. So he says, Lechora, the two takanot contradict one another. The first takanot is Zeichah Lechorban. In other words, the first one is, remember, we had a Beis Hamikdash once. That's taking a little over 7 days, but now we don't have it. The second is because Meheri Yibaneh Hamikdash. that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt quickly, so we need everybody to be in shape, not eating the Kaddash, because the Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt tomorrow. So he says it could be that's why they're both together. After Rabbi Yochanan the Zakkai, the first Takanah is Zeicher LaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, but we want to remember the Beis HaMikdash. There's a chashash that maybe people like Mekyeish and think, Igabalt, the Gula is so far away, and we're making a Takanah for the Zeicher LaKorban. This is all we got. We can remember how we had a Beis HaMikdash. So he made the second Takanah immediately, Yom HaNeif. What's Yom HaNeif? Meheri Yibaneh HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash could be rebuilt like that. And I need everybody to be in good shape and prepared for it. So therefore, we never mentioned the kind of lulav by itself. That's the down one. He says, but only with Yom HaNeif. But when Yom HaNeif, if I'm mentioning Yom HaNeif, which is the question Tosos asked, the first question, if I mention Yom HaNeif, I don't have to mention the one with lulav. Oh, Yom HaNeif is the happy one, the behavior you've been at Mikdash. So if I mention Yom HaNeif, I don't have to mention the one about the lulav. Now, the only problem with this is, and Rabbi Mordechai Hochheimer, you just pointed out to me, it doesn't work out well with the Maskana of the Gemara. We'll see in the Maskana of the Gemara in a minute. The Maskana, but we'll see how this plays out. You could sort of touch it in, but it works better with the Hava Mina. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right, let's come on. So we're in the Gemara. Okay, we're 20 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Menalanda Dina Zeichel Mikdash. Where do we see that there is any imperative to do anything Zeichel Mikdash? Though it's nice that he's doing Zeichel Mikdash, but where do we see that there's some obligation to do something Zeichel Mikdash? So Amr Yochanan to Amr Cross, Rabbi Yochanan says, this is a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Ki Aleh Ruchalach, I will bring healing to you, to the Jewish people. We makoteicha epraech, Noam Hashem, and I will heal you from your wounds. Ki Nidacha Karulach, because all the nations called you Nidacha. You were the one that was cast out. He says, Tzion hi dore shein la. It's Tzion, nobody seeks it out. Tzion hi dore shein la. Dore shein la mechal d'bay adrisha. So the Gemara says that there's nobody seeking out Tzion, so mechal that you do require. In other words, it requires drisha. In other words, you have to be focused, like what's with Tzion? What's going to be with Tzion? And we had to remember the way Tzion was. So that's where you see like Remez Lipsukim, that it's appropriate to make takana Zeichel Mikdash. Say again, repeat. It means the Chachamim, when they made takana Zeichel Mikdash, there's a support. The glass at the wedding is like Zeichel Churban. This is Zeichel. In other words, it's slightly different. In other words, glass at the wedding, we remember the Avelus, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This is remembering the Beis HaMikdash that it stood and we had it. But it's like Sion. But in other words, Sion, in other words, requires Grisha. In other words, so all the kind of stuff I'll make, that Zeichel HaMikdash is based on this. Okay, we say Yom HaNeif. And the day of the waving the Omer should be totally prohibited. In other words, again, you have the Omer is barley. So once the Omer is brought, it's matir l'chadash. Everything took root since last Pesach. Now it becomes matir with the Omer. So the Gemara says, Yom HaNeif. So the Yom HaNeif is the 16th of Nisan, should be totally prohibited. So my time, why did he make that takana? Because the base of Mesh is going to be rebuilt speedily. The Yomru, everybody will say, last year, I remember we ate the Chadash at dawn. We ate the Chadash at dawn. So now, let's also eat the Chadash at dawn. The Inhu Lo Yadi, they won't realize the Shtakad Lo Havabed HaMikdash Yer Mizrach Yitir. They won't realize last year there was no base of Mikdash, so dawn was the Matir. Hashta the Ika Beit HaMikdash, now there's a Beit HaMikdash, Omer Matir. So the Omer is Matir. So that's the Takana he made. So the Gemara says, the Ivni Eimat. So when, let's try to understand what is the Chashash, when is the Beis HaMikdash going to be rebuilt, and what Chashash will exist. So the Ivni Eimat, when are we thinking that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt? Ilema the Ivni B'Shitzar, if the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt on the 16th of Nisan, which is the day the Omer is normally brought, Rehi Tir Heir Ismat. So once dawn came, that's not a problem. So if it's built on the 16th of Nisan, I don't have a problem, because once it's dawn on the 16th, once I get the green light, it's not going back to red light. You understand? In other words, here's a chesu. Let's say this is the Beis HaMikdash is built at noon on the 16th of Nisan. But at dawn on the 16th of Nisan, was I allowed to eat? So then once they gave me the heter, that's it. I have a heter. Okay. So he says, So rather it must be the base of Mikdash is being built on the 15th of Nisan or before. It's on the 15th of Nisan. It says, but even if that's the case, in the worst case scenario, I should be allowed to eat the Chadash from noon forward. Why? The Hatanan, because we learn in the Mishnah in the Sechet Menachot, that people who are far removed from Yerushalayim, let's say I'm living in the Galil, and it's the 16th day of Nisan. Once it's Chatzot, once it's noon that day, I can rest assured the Omer has already been brought. He says, L'fisha ein beitim et aslimbo. The Bezdin would never be so dilatory with the Mincha Omer to bring it after Chatzot. So no matter what happens, Chatzot is okay. So then even this worst case scenario, I should be allowed to eat the Omer from Chatzot. So it's not making sense, this takana that he's making, because he's making takana, I can't eat Kadash the whole day because the basement should be rebuilt. But even if it's rebuilt and I have to worry about it, but from Chatzot I should be able to eat it, he says, lo, tzricha, the ibni belelia. So the Gemara says, no, it could be that the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt at night, meaning on the night of before the 16th, inami samach l'shkita kama, or close to sunset, the 15th going to the 16th. So now it means like this. If it's rebuilt at night, so now I have to get ready to bring the Omer. The Omer has to be reaped at night, and it has a lot of preparations with it. It has to be dried out, and it has to go through 13 siftings, you know, for the Omer. It's a very time-consuming process. So I'm not going to begin preparations to bring the Omer unless I have a Beis HaMikdash. So if the Beis HaMikdash is built, let's say, in other words, this is the 16th of Nisan, let's say it's a Tuesday. So Monday night, the Beis HaMikdash is built, so now I got to get cracking to prepare the Omer, but it's going to take me a long time to get the whole act together. And so then it could be delayed to later. And it was that first year, it could be delayed to the whole day. So it makes sense now. Now it makes sense. So now he says, if you look at Rashi, the bottom line in Rashi, five lines from the bottom, he says the last word line is the E, four lines from the bottom. Be kashtiv lalo nivna. So maybe last question, the basic mitzvah is not going to be rebuilt at night. The Thief of Yom HaKim says, from based on a pasuk, it's by the Mishkan, that the Beis HaMikdash will not be rebuilt at night. And it's not going to be built on the 15th, which is the Yantiv. And as we're building it, we're not building the Beis HaMikdash on Yantiv, and we're not going to build it at night. The Gemara establishes, Bini Beis HaMikdash is not Doche Yantiv. So how can the Beis HaMikdash be built on Yantiv? Can't be, because we can't build it on Yantiv. How could it be at night? We're not going to build it at night. He says, "Hani mili binina benui bi the adam." It's only if it's a man-made structure. Avo mikdash ha'atid shanu mitzapin benui mishuflal hu yiglevi avo mishamayim shnemar mikdash Hashem konu yadecha. He says the future base of mikdash will miraculously appear, be built from a kadosh baruch hu. All right, so we think a working shot.
Can that be built at night?
In other words,
by
kadosh
baruch hu.
If the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing it, you don't have to worry about it. Okay, now Now, let's just see further. Now, so we think that we understand Rabbi Yochanan's takana. Now, three lines to the bottom. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, B'shita Rabbi Yehuda Amara. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was following the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda lived after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. But his sheeta is the same as Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The Amar, Minat Torah Hu Asur, that from the Torah, Kadosh is prohibited, not the way I said before, with daybreak, is prohibited the entire day of the 16th, Min HaTorah, when there's no Beis Mikdash. The Chiv, turn page, the top line on the Malachim of Days 41b, Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh. So it says, V'lechem Kaliva Karmel Lo Toklu Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh, until Etzem HaYom HaZeh, Ad Itzumo Shel Yom. The way he understands it, on the top line in Rashi, Kol Yom Krui Etzem HaYom. To the Ksavar, back in the Gemara, B'Ksavar Ad V'Abachal. So it's Machlok in the Gemara, when the Torah gives you like a deadline, does it include that deadline? So when the Torah says, Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh, does it include that day or not? So he, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, says it includes that day. So it says, V'lechem HaKaliva Karmelo Toklu Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh, don't eat the new Chadash, Ad Etzem HaYom HaZeh, and Ad V'Ad B'Chal. So Min HaTorah, when there's no base something, so it means that there's two dinim. When this base mitzvah stands, the Omer is matir. Let's say I bring the Omer at 11 o'clock, then I can eat the Chadash. When there's no base of Mikdash, it's not at dawn, it's when the day passes, so the whole day I can't eat it. So the Gemara says on the second line, Does Rabbi Yochanan hold like Rabbi Yehuda, even though they didn't live at the same time? But Miflag Paligalay, this seems to be a machloket. He says, and Shimi did not, because we learn in the Mishnah, in the second Menachot, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, now we have Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda, but the Mishnah in the second Menachot doesn't have Lo because they didn't live at the same time. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Menatoru Asur. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do we need Rabbi Yochanan to make a takana? From the Torah, it's prohibited. It says, so I don't need any takanot. So Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara explains, Rabbi Yehuda who dekatai. Rabbi Yehuda was making a mistake understanding what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was doing. Husavar mid Rabbanan Kamar. He thought that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai means on a rabbinic level, the grain is prohibited the whole day. Below he, that's not what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. Midaraita Kamar. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was saying, after the Korban Beis HaMikdash, min haTorah now you can't eat it till the end of the day. Bahad the Hitkin Ka'amar, but it says Hitkin, what takana did we make? He's just explaining. So he says, my Hitkin, Darash Hitkin, mean he darshened out the Pasuk and he said, this is what the halacha is. So the Maskana of the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yochanan didn't make a takana de Rabbanan. He was just reminding them of what the Din Duraisa was. And it was up until now you had a Beis HaMikdash. So when you bring the Omer, so once the Omer is brought, you can eat Kharash. Now there's no Beis HaMikdash. In the Torah, you can't eat Kharash till nightfall. That's what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. So there's no din derabanan, it's din deraisa. Now with this though, it's very hard to, you know, shtimois this shtik Torah from this Admor Misakalov. He says he made two takanot and one was Zeichel Mikdash, one was the other way. So the first one isn't really a takana. He's just telling you what the din Torah was. You could touch it in and say, well, it's din Torah, and then he bounced it off with it doesn't work so well with the second way of the Gemara. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said so far? Everybody good? Happy group. Okay, let's keep moving. Everybody with me? All right. Okay, so I'm going to the next Mishnah. Okay, we're in line 10, Memal from the days, Manitin. Now, in tomorrow's daf and Thursday's daf, the Gemara is going to explain that they went through Takanas when Shabbos comes during Sukkot. So on a Torah level, only the first day you have a mitzvah deraisa to a lula. So let's see. So ma'anitin yom tov rishon shel chag shechalim b'shabbat. If the first day of yontiv comes out on a Shabbos, kula amal. So here, in other words, they at a certain point in time, they made the takana to wave it for 7 days, even for Medina. But then they made a takana not to wave it on Shabbos because they were afraid to leave it till Shabbos. And then, but if the first day they didn't make that gzera for, so in other words, so the gzera was the first day of Yontif comes out on Shabbos, you wave lulav. If another day comes out on Shabbos, you won't wave lulav. That was and then the Gemara is going to go through different stages that they made. Okay, so the Gemara says here. So this mission is talking about like an intermediate stage. This is after the Korban Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So I think so. 1 second, so let me just see. We'll do it tomorrow's daf. 1 second, 7 seconds. No, it looks like even when the Beis HaMikdash stood, it sounds like. Even when the Beis HaMikdash stood. All right, we'll see in a minute. We'll have to go over more tomorrow, okay? But that's it. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechal Yom B'Shabbat. If the first day of Yontif coincides with Shabbos, so everybody's going to wave lulav, even though it's on Shabbos. Kol am olichim lulvayim lebeit haKnesset. So everybody would bring their lulavs to the shul before Shabbos. So I'm bringing my lulav to the shul before Shabbos. L'macharat mashkinu b'ayin kol chabi echad makir shelo. The next day, everybody gets up early. Everybody recognizes their lulav, v'noglo, and he takes his lulav. He says, "V'neisha amru chachamim, because chachamim taught us." I can't be yotzei my obligation on the first day of Yontiv with the lulav of my friend. You know what, Yosef? I hate to bother you. Could you get me if you would the Kahati Mishnayot? You see on the third shelf on the right. Yeah, could you get me Moed Beis, the third shelf from the bottom, right in front of you? Yeah, Moed Beis. You see Moed Beis? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So again, so he says, Chachamim say you can't be yotzei lulav of your chaver. The other days, you could be yotze, even if it's borrowed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Shechol B'Shabbat. Rabbi Yossi says, if the first day of Yantiv coincides with Shabbos, V'Shechach V'Otzid Alulav L'Rishit Rabim. And now I forgot. So, meaning, I didn't realize, I knew it was Shabbos, but I forgot that I'm not allowed to carry the lulav on Shabbos, because I'm fulfilled to doing this mitzvah. In other words, I have a mitzvah to wave lulav today on Shabbos. It's before they made the gzera that I don't wave it on Shabbos. So if Yantif comes in on Shabbos and I carry the lulav in the Rishus Rabbim on Shabbos, which would be Malacha Duraisa, Rabbi Yossi holds Patur Bnei Shotzi Abrushut. Rabbi Yossi holds I'm Patur from a Korban Chatat, not that I, you know, get a badge for carrying on Shabbos, but I'm not carrying a Korban Chatat because he holds I'm Tarud Tir to the mitzvah. Since I was so for tumult with doing a mitzvah, so then he holds, then under those circumstances, I'm not chayev the Korban Chatat. Now, which is one second, I just want to take a look. And this one second, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Sukkah. One second. So again, we're talking here when the Beis Hamikdash stood. In the Mishnah, we're talking when the Beis Hamikdash stood. He said, so they would take lulav on the first day of the Yantiv, and it would be Docha Shabbos. Bein b'Mikdash, bein b'Medina. Right. Okay. So that's the way it's coming out here from it. So it's talking about when the Beis Hamikdash stood. So according to the way Rashi learns, it was only missed to take the 7 days in the Beis Hamikdash, and the Medina is outside the Beis Hamikdash. But they nevertheless had a takana. Rashi brings down the docha mitzvah lulav Shabbat b'yom tov rishon levado. So it sounds like on the other days I wouldn't take it. I have to see the Gemara tomorrow. So tomorrow's daf is mem beis. So on Thursday's daf, I've got to wait to get to Thursday's daf. I need to review it more. So let me see what it says here. One second. All right, I need to review this whole takata, but bottom line is that on Shabbos they would take it. That's the bottom line. Okay, we have questions, comments to us, anything we did so far. Yeah, I don't think it's limited to lulav. Let's see the Rashi on this. Choshi b'rshut, b'rshut mitzvah, she tarud b'mitzvah, v'mechashi v'asuk maher la'aso toh, v'mitokach toh, v'shachach shu shabbat. The only thing that's different is like this. By shofar, we don't have a mitzvah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos anymore, right? Sheva al taseh. So Yossi's talking about where you have a mitzvah to do it, but you should arrange ahead of time to do it. You know what I mean? So it's not exactly the same thing. In other words, here there is a mitzvah to take it. So I don't know if you have a tour in that case. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. I'm going to go further unless anybody has questions. Okay, so. All right, so the Gemara says, Aminani Milay. So where do we know this halacha that I can't be yotzei with lulav of my friend? The Tan Rabbanan, we learn the Braisa, ulakachtem, shilakicha biyad kolachav yichad. So it doesn't say ulakachta. Ulakachta, I would think that there's a mitzvah on the Bezdin to take the lulav. Ulakachtem, you should all take a lulav. Everybody has to take the lulav. Lachem, ulakachtem lachem, mishalachem. It has to be your lulav. To exclude a lulav that's borrowed or stolen. So from here, Chazal teach us on the first day Yantiv, and Chutzal Aretz also the second day Yantiv, I can't be yotzei with my friend's lulav, unless he gave it to me as a gift. Umase, this is still the Braisa continuing on. There was an incident with 1, 2, 3, 4, these four Chachamim. They were traveling by boat. The only one who had a lulav was Rabbi Gamliel. He paid $10 zillion for it. Elav zuz is a tremendous amount of money, right? The ksub is 100 and 200 zuz. This is 1,000 zuz. Nitalo Rabbi Gamliel v'yatzabo. Gamliel took the lulav and presumably the estrog rolled the four minim and it was yotzei with it. Unatano to Rabbi Yeshua b'matana. He gave it as a gift to Rabbi Yeshua. Nitalo Rabbi Yeshua v'yatzabo and Nitalo Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yeshua was yotzei and then he gave it to Rabbi Azariah. The Matana. The Tzalot Rav Lazar ben Azariah v'yatzabo and the Tzalot Rav Matana to Rabbi Akiva. Rav Azariah was Yotzei, he gave it as a gift to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Kiva Yatzabo Zero the Rabbi Gamliel. And then Rabbi Kiva returns to Rabbi Gamliel. So means it's Rabbi Gamliel's Lulav and Esrog and four medium. And so A gives it to B gives it to C gives it to D, and D returns to A. That's what we're going to see in a minute. That's what the Gemara is working out. What? Five or four? Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lazar, Mazari, Rabbi Kiva. I count four. Okay, now. So the Gemara says, but in the Haggadah, there were five. Okay, now. The Gemara says, Lama li meimer hechziro. Why does the Tana say, why is the Tana emphasize that he gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel? So the Gemara says, Milta agavorek kamash malan. The Mishnah is teaching me another halacha along the way. Matanam not lahaksi yushma matana. That a matana, on condition that I return the matana, is still considered a full matana. So that's what they were giving. So each one gave it a matana, but a matana not lahaksi here. So he says, Ki hadiyama rabba, helecha etrog zel manach taksi reoli. Rabba says, if I say take this etrog on condition you return it to me, nitalo biyatzabo, exiru yatza, lo exiru lo yatza. So if I give you a manat lahaksi here, if you return to me, you're yotze the mitzvah. If you don't return it to me, you're not yotze. So, okay, so that's why he mentions that he gave it back to him, that the Tanai got fulfilled, and Matana Manal Haksir is called the Matana. So now, Lamali the Neymar, Shlokobel of Zuz, why was it necessary to say that Rabbi Gamliel purchased it for 1,000 Zuz? Why is that significant? Why does the Tana of the Brisa mention that? In other words, each prat that the Tana of the Brisa mentions is for important reasons, and it was the halakhic reasons. Lodiach kam mitzvah kavibra layam, to teach how precious the mitzvahs were, they're willing to pay $1,000,000 for this esrog. Amrli Mar Bar Maimar Rabashi. So Mar Bar Maimar said to Rabashi, Abba, my father, meaning Amemar, Sinui Kamatsali Bay. He would damage from an Esrei while holding a lulav and presumably the Esrog. Let's see the Rashi. Abba Mitsali Bay, Shayamit Palel Lulavobiado, when he would daven and his lulav was in his hand, I assume he had the Esrog as well. They rove Chiba Toalab, Hayamit Palabo, because it was so precious to him, he would be in Palo with it. So let's see back in the Gemara, four lines before it gets wide. Main thing, and this we ask a kasher from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Lo yuchas dam tefillin biyado, a person shouldn't hold tefillin in his hand, the sefer Torah b'cheiko, or a sefer Torah in his arm, yit palel. In other words, if I'm davening shmona esrei, I shouldn't hold even tefillin in my hand, I shouldn't even hold a sefer Torah in my arm. What? We'll talk about siddur in a minute. Okay, siddur is also a question, but we'll talk. Now, v'lo yashtin behem mayim, if I'm holding the tefillin, I shouldn't pass water. I shouldn't go to sleep holding the tefillin in my hand. And Rashi brings down, we had this Gemara earlier, so we said it's talking about holding low kebab below rai, but the notch lebi adi, when you're holding your hands. Now, this last narrow line, but Amar Shmuel says, Sakin ka'ara, kikmarama, or arelo kioseben. A knife would be the same din. In other words, but I can't damage one esrei if I'm holding a knife in my hand. So Rashi says, 10 lines from the bottom, he's afraid the knife is going to fall and like cut him in his foot. Uka'ara, I shouldn't hold the plate. And Rashi says, Balaya, the plate is full. Kikar, a loaf of bread. Rashi says, I'm afraid that it's going to fall and get beschmutzed. Uma'od, money. I'm afraid that it's going to like spread all over the place. Uma'od, harelu kiyotze b'hem. So Shmuel says, just like the Mishnah says, I can't hold tefillin and I can't hold a sefer Torah. So too, if I can't hold a saki and a kara, kikor him out. See, he doesn't mention it here, but, you know, I thought I saw it somewhere, but it's like, you know, in halacha, like, sometimes people have children, like infants, and they think, well, okay, infants are so cute, and they like to hold the infant, even when they're davening. They shouldn't be holding the infant when they're davening Shmoneh Esrei either. You know, it's also, I could work another din, like, you know, during Shiva, you're not supposed to hold a child, because it's like, misameach you. You know, sometimes the what? Say it again. I'm sorry. You can't kiss a child, but you also like shouldn't. In other words, holding the child gives simcha to the avil, so the avil shouldn't hold the child during shiva. Okay, 1 minute. I'll come to everybody in question. Okay, just give me 3 minutes. Okay, now I'll pause. Okay, 1 minute. He says here. He says so. The Gemara says hatam labitzan inu batari behu. He says over there when he's holding the stocking and all the other ones, he's not doing any mitzvah by holding those objects. There's no mitzvah to hold the objects. Tacha mitzvah in inu below taribu. So here, by lulav and the esrog, even though he took lulav and esrog in the morning, but when he's holding it additionally, he's becoming more of a mitzvah. So since he's doing a mitzvah, so he's so happy with the mitzvah, it's not called a tirda. Now, the only thing is, so he brought in the art scroll that the Ritva says, I should more tarib. In other words, let's say I'm holding lulav and esrog. Let's say I paid $1,000 for the esrog. So now I'm very concerned that the esrog is going to fall down. The pit will break. But it means that I'm involved with the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the same thing, like relating to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. In other words, that's a whole different parsha. In other words, I'm involved with the mitzvah. That leads me to greater ruchnius. I'm involved with the mitzvah, like I'm davening to Hashem. That's like a greater aspect. So you asked, Odeid was saying about a sitter, which is true. So the question is halacha, how am I allowed to hold a sitter for davening? I was also holding a sitter is thing. So since the sitter is assisting me and enhancing my tefillah, I can hold the sitter. Okay, let me just do three more lines. Let me get to the two dots. I'll get to your question. Get everybody's questions.
And why were they on a boat?
Okay, just a minute. We'll talk about boat also. Okay. So he says. So the second wide line of the Gemara. So Tanya, we learned the Brisa. Rav Lazar bar Tzadok Omer, Kachayim and Agan Shal Anshei Yerushalayim. The minhag of the Anshei Yerushalayim was Adam Yotzei Beito Lulav Obiado. A person would go out of his house during the day. He carries lulav and esrog with him. Bolech lebeta Knesset Lulav Obiado. He goes to shul. He brings his lulav and esrog with him. Korei kriyat shema and paleav lulav obiado. He would hold the lulav and esrog while he's saying shema while he's davening. Korei b'torah v'nosei kapav manichol gabi karg. But when he lanes from the Torah and if he's a kohen if he duchens, he's got to put it down. So Rashi brings down three lines to the bottom. Sarif leniach lulav pishagol el sefer Torah poto. When I'm getting an aliyah, I need to hold the atzei chayim with the sefer Torah. Doesn't sound like the Spartak Sefer Torah, right? The Spartak Sefer Torah, you don't have to. You do hold it like that. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, if he would go to be visiting sick people, he's going to a Shiva. Lulav obiado. He comes with his lulav. It seems strange that you imagine there's like a lulav. He says, the interesting thing is, when it says, now, on Chol HaMoed, are you sitting Shiva on Chol HaMoed? No, nobody sits Shiva on Chol HaMoed, but it must be that you're still Menachem the Avel. That's the only thing I could say. And it was even if he's not in Shiva, you're Menachem the Avel. It's the only thing I could think of. He says, L'chem Avel L'lov Obiyado. Or that would be the way it would go. The other one, there is another way to do it. I'll tell you, there's another way to have it. I'll tell you how. It could be like this. Let's say the person has a Levaya on the first day of Chol HaMoed. So when does he observe Shiva? So he'll observe Shiva after Yantiv. And although the last day of Yantiv will count as his first day of Shiva. So he could be an Avel, but he's not sitting Shiva during that period of time. Shiva's pushed off. So I could still be Menachem the Avel on Chol HaMoed. Here, Herzatsu. The person lost his father on the first day of Chol HaMoed. Levi is the first day of Chol HaMoed. So he's not going to observe the Shiva till after the last day of Yantiv. So although the last Yantiv in Chutz La'aretz counts as the first day of Shiva, in other words, Simchas Torah will count as his first day of Shiva. As Lydia, I wonder if we have somebody here for late Maariv. So I'm saying, let's say I want to be Menachem Avil during Chol HaMoed. So he's an Avil, he's just not sitting Shiva. So that could be the case. So let's see back in the Gemara.
When you do the two shurot in the cemetery, that's considered Nichum Avel, right?
They're right. That is the type of Nichum Avel, right. Okay, now let's take a look back in the Gemara. So he says here, two lines from the bottom. Nichas lebeta midrash, meshakir lulavo biyad beno biyad abdo biyad shlucho. When he enters the base medrash, he sends the lulav with his son, his eved, or his shliach, because the base of medrash, look at Rashi, the last Rashi, tard mishmait to be pol miyadav. He needs 100% focus for his learning. So then he sends the lulav home. So the bai kamash malan, so what was the Tana teaching me, Rav Lazar, that they went here, there, and the other place, the lulav, to show us how zealous they were in the observance of mitzvah. Okay, now, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Also, after the first day of Yantiv, you can borrow the lulav. You don't have to have it matanam and achzir. They're doing
What were these four guys doing on a boat the first day?
Okay, wait a minute. First, let me get to Abe, then I'll get to you.
and not
right. 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 Yeah, but I'm not davening Shmona Esrei. In other words, we're talking about Tefillah Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei, that's Tefillah. Okay, now you said, what were they doing in the boat? So the way I remember, there's a piece of blurb on this from Rishima to Rav. It's the notes from that Rav Reichman has been writing, collecting these notes from the Rav on different Masechtot. So I remember there was a blurb in Masechet Sukkah about what were they doing on the boat. And the way I remember, I think the Rav's saying is that they must have gone like for... like something for the tzibur in Rome or something like that, you know, something that was nachut, something that was pressing for the community, and that's what they were doing on the boat. And,
between Yom Kippur and Sukkot.
Whatever, yeah. Now, and again, coming back with the Chabad, again, if it's after Yom Tips, you could just borrow it. Now, let me just do a piece here from the feats, and then it'll be it. There's a piece on taking lulav in Yerushalayim, you know, even if you've taken it elsewhere. He's got it here, he's got it there. So he says, according to Rashi, Mikdash refers to the space of Mikdash. Medina includes Yerushalayim and beyond. So he said that means on a din d'oraisa, so in the Mikdash, I have a mitzvah to take lulav 7 days. But Medina, which Rashi interprets outside the base of Mikdash, mitzvah, take it 1 day before Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai. The Rambam, however, includes the entire city of Yerushalayim as part of Mikdash. The Rambam says Mikdash is the entire city of Yerushalayim, and it's like in Rosh Hashanah. We didn't do Rosh Hashanah yet, did we? Okay, so it's coming up in the second Rosh Hashanah. So he says, and Medina includes the entire country except for Yerushalayim. The Bikur Yaakov, that's Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, writes that according to the Rambam, the biblical command to take lulav for 7 days would be in force since the majority of posts can maintain the sanctity of Yerushalayim remains even after the destruction of the base of Mikdash. Thus, not only is there a mitzvah to take lulav for 7 days, but all the disqualifications that are relaxed outside of the Mikdash after the first day would be enforced in Yerushalayim for all 7 days. So we have certain, in other words, let's say you have to own the lulav. And then we said, let's say you could have a chaser after the first day. So those dinim would still be enforced for all 7 days. For example, in Yerushalayim, a person should own rather than borrow lulav and esrog for all 7 days. Now, the only question is, what is Yerushalayim? I would think Yerushalayim would be the old city from ancient times, but I don't know in terms of this ukimta, but I think that's the way we go. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer cites a number of poskim who dispute. Now, he has here also, this from the Aladah, he says, 1 second. Right. So the Bikur Yaakov, consequently, he argues that a person today living or visiting within the boundaries of the ancient city of Yerushalayim may not use an extra chasir for the first day, because he's under the biblical obligation for the entire 7 days of Sukkot. But in addition to which, I've seen they want to say that, let's say I wave lulav, you know, in Bayit Began, you know, on the first day of Chol HaMoed. And now I go to the Kotel, I have mitzvah to take lulav again, because before I was doing the mitzvah d'Rabana, now I have mitzvah d'Oraisa. So I could fulfill the mitzvah d'Oraisa now if I take lulav again. And that's the way it would go. Now, the Tzitz Eliezer cites a number of poskim with dispute to Bikur Yaakov's assertion, and proceeds to offer his own refutation. Even if we accept Allah follows the Rambam, and the mitzvahs take lulav in Yerushalayim for 7 days, nonetheless, the mitzvah will only apply when the base of mitzvahs is extant. Proof of this assertion can be inferred from the Rambam's ruling regarding the confession recited at the time one brings Master Sheni to Yerushalayim. So we bring Master Sheni, you say, so the Rambam writes that the mitzvah is to recite the confession of the base of Mikdash, because that's going to be the Parsha Shavua in Parshas Kitavo is by Bikurim, but then it says about the Bidui Maaser, mentions afterwards. He says, because the Torah uses the word Lefnei Hashem. So the key is, what does Lefnei Hashem mean? Lefnei Hashem means the base of Mikdash, but the way the Rambam learns about Bidui Maaser, that it means Dafka in, like, when the base of Mikdash is still standing. These same words teach there's a mitzvah to take lulav 7 days, he says, Smach L'Shem Elokechem Shuvat Yamim. It is therefore logical to assume, concludes Eliezer, biblical command to take lulav on 7 days is only enforced when the base mitzvah is standing. Now, he says here, okay, all right, anyway, you get the idea. So my cloak post came whether there is or not another mitzvah to take lulav, but, you know, it's like you can't lose out by taking lulav again at the Kotel. In other words, if you took it elsewhere and take it, So at worst, you're doing mitzvah maybe the Rabbanan. At best, you're doing mitzvah d'oraisa. So it's certainly a positive stop by the Kotel during Sukkot. Okay, please get questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did. Everybody good? Okay, let me just end the recording for a second.